John's Gospel, chapter 6, commences with our Lord Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000. Then he sends his disciples across the Sea of Tiberias while he departed into a mountain apart to pray. And as they were crossing the sea, he saw them in jeopardy, and he came walking to them on the waters. And then we read in verse 22 that the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered them and said, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And God will bless to our hearts the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Just a moment's prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thou hast exalted thy word above even thy holy name. We thank thee that the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. And we pray that the Spirit of truth will open thy word of truth to our hearts, and our hearts to the truth of thy word. Father, through thy word build us up on our most holy faith. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee, and hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. For Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen. The Jews asked Christ, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And the answer of Christ comes down to each one of us through the years. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And the greatest work that any man or woman can do is to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of the living God. The first great work of God is to trust in Christ and in him alone. And after trusting him, we become new creatures in Christ. And then we seek to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. We seek to serve him and to please him by our Christian testimony. And this is why Christ said, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Men and women can never know God except they come to God through Christ. For Jesus Christ is God in focus. Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. Jesus Christ came to reveal God. And to know God is to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and through him alone. And this is why we must labor, not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Dear child of God, do you spend time alone with Jesus? Is it a desire within your heart that you might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death, that God might use you for his glory? In order to be used of God, to be a vessel meet for the master's use, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. So we are to labor for the things which endure unto everlasting life. Now, what are those enduring things that Christ talked about? The things which last and the things which endure are not to be found in this world, but in the precious Word of God alone. This is why we are to search the Word diligently in order that we might see Christ. Jesus exhorted the people not to labor for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Dear child of God, are you searching the Scriptures daily, that you might be conformed daily to the image of Christ? In this world, sin is but for a season, and the pleasures of sin. The fashion of this world is passing away. The works of this world, which some men put great store by, will one day be burned up. These things, they are fleeting, they are transient, they are passing, but the things which endure are revealed in God's word for God's people to enjoy day by day. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you have a quiet time alone with Christ? Did you come to the meeting with preparation of heart to receive the Word of God, that you might be built up on your most holy faith? Are you really enjoying the eternal things that God hath given to us in his Word? For God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are you enjoying your possessions? Or is your profession of faith a labor to you? Are you a happy Christian? Are you rejoicing continually in the Lord? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Do you really love Christ? No. Yes, we can sing, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Friend, are you singing the truth? Do you really mean it when you sing it? Is he altogether lovely? 10,000 charms around him shine, but best of all, I know he's mine. Do you love him? What are those things which endure? First of all, we read in Psalm 9 and 7 that the Lord endureth forever. And because the Lord endures forever, all the eternal blessings that God bestows upon his people also endure forever. You see, dear child of God, Jehovah is the unchanging Lord. He's the same yesterday,
He's the same today, and He's the same forever. And thank God, He's the believer's Lord. And because He lives, we shall live also. And we will endure as long as He endures, and He ever lives in the power of an indissoluble life. We belong to Him, and He belongs to us. Not for the years of time alone, but thank God for all eternity. Our God, the God that we love, is an eternal God. He never had a beginning. Thank God He'll never have an ending. It is not possible to compute His years. He is said to inhabit eternity. My dear friend, there can be no eternity without Him. From everlasting to everlasting is God. And He inhabiteth eternity. This is our God. He's an eternal God. And the blessings of this eternal God upon His people are enduring blessings. And they come to us through the channel of His dear Son. The Lord endureth forever. Secondly, we read in Psalm 104 and verse 31 that the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. One of the loveliest titles that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of Glory. And one day His redeemed people will behold Him in all His glory. And the glory of the Lord will be our glory. Yes, in a day that's coming, and maybe it's not too far away, when the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. On some appointed day, some blessed day, the glory of the Lord will be revealed to this world. And He shall come again to be glorified and to be admired in all them that believe. Then His redeemed people will share His enduring glory. The Lord Jesus Christ will be our glory, and His church, His bride, His own fullness, His own redeemed ones will be His glory. What a wonderful moment that will be, brethren and sisters in Christ, when the Savior comes again and He presents us before the throne of His Father with exceeding great joy, without having spot, blemish, or any such thing. What glory! But let me remind you of this. Our Lord Jesus Christ has a threefold glory. As the eternal second person of the Godhead, one with the Father and one with the Holy Ghost, one in essence and eternity, that glory belongs to His essential deity, and He will never share that glory with another. It is His and His alone. But the Bible also speaks of His moral glory, for He is the Holy One, without spot or without blemish, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and He's made higher than the heavens. As the sinless Son of God, that speaks of His moral glory. But then the Bible also speaks of His acquired glory, the glory that He acquired when He died on Calvary's cross. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame, that He might bring many sons home to glory. And in His great high priestly prayer, He prayed, "Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they might behold My glory." Hey, what a blessed hope. What a glorious future that belongs to the children of God. Thirdly, we read in Psalm 72 and verse 17 that His name shall endure forever. His name is as ointment poured forth. Sometimes we sing, "Jesus,
Oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim the precious name of Jesus. His name is the name that we Christians love and adore. It is an enduring name. It is our Savior's name. And his promise to his redeemed is, I will write upon him my new name, and again his name will be upon their foreheads. What a wonderful moment that will be when we bear on our foreheads the precious name of Jesus. Friends, his name is an all-glorious, all-enduring, all-saving name, for God hath given to him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, God hath made this same Jesus to be both Lord and Christ. Isn't it wonderful to know him? Isn't it sweet to call this Jesus mine? What a name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Fourthly, we read in Psalm 112 and verse 3, his righteousness endureth forever. One of the glorious titles of our glorious Lord is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. We who profess the name of Christ, we who belong to him by virtue of our faith in him, are clothed in the righteousness of God, who raised him from the dead on account of our justification. Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and that for all eternity. And as long as his righteousness endures, so shall we, his blood-bought people. Now, dear child of God, I want you to remember this and always remember this, that the righteousness of God is a different righteousness from the righteousness of men. It is different in genus, different in species, different in scope, different in quality. It's the very righteousness of a holy God. And the righteousness of man is so infinitely inferior to the righteousness of God in Christ. Dear child of God, let me take you back to the place which is called Calvary, just for a moment. Do you remember the time when you first trusted in Christ? When you're all you ventured on Christ's atoning blood and the Holy Spirit entered and you were born again of God? Do you remember when you learned the great truth that burdens are lifted at Calvary? Because Jehovah laid on him the iniquity of us all. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. What a tremendous revelation that was when we discovered that when we trusted in Christ, God imputed all our sins to the Savior. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. For what reason? That we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in him.
and the righteousness of God, which is different to the righteousness of man. The righteousness of God is unto all and upon all who believe. And God cannot demand of you or me a greater righteousness than his own. Thank God tonight, or this morning, I stand clothed in the righteousness of God through faith in the risen Savior. That's the righteousness that God requires of men and women who have a desire to enter into heaven. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter in. There are those who think that they'll go swinging into heaven on their own righteous deeds, upon their own human merit. My dear friend, there's one thing that will stop you, and it's the holiness of God. Naught that defileth will ever enter in. And my great desire is the same as the Apostle Paul, that in that day, when I stand before God, not to be found clothed in mine own righteousness, which is by the law, and which will not suffice, but in the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. And the righteousness of God endureth forever. Fifthly, we read in Psalm 136 that his mercy endureth forever. Isn't that lovely? God's mercies are new every morning. His compassions, they fail not. God's faithfulness is great towards his own. Friend, the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This the psalmist could say with assurance, because the psalmist realized the great truth that he was loved with everlasting love. Led by grace, that love to know, spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. We are loved with a love that can never die, a love that can never be quenched or ceased, a love that will never end. He sought us and he bought us. He made us his very own. Even when we were lost and undone and without strength, in due time Christ died for us, the ungodly. And because of his great love, wherewith he loved us, he is said to be rich in mercy toward us. Grace, mercy, and peace was the apostle's benediction when writing to the saints of God. His mercy will never fail us. In the darkest night we are called to pass through, in the fiercest of trials and the deepest of sorrows, we can sing, his mercy endureth forever. It is God's enduring mercy for us. Mercies past, mercies present, mercies forever and forever. They cannot fail. I wonder if I have time to tell you this. I'll take a moment to tell you. Just last week, got a phone call from a lady. And I could tell by her voice on the phone, she was in deep distress. She says, Graham, can you come up? Well, my wife was out. And then in the providence of God, I believe, she came home just at that moment. And I phoned the lady again and said, I'm coming now. Oh, she says, come.
And I went into the home. Her and her husband were in deep distress. Their last remaining daughter was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. What a burden. They lost a child prematurely. They had a beautiful daughter who died at 29. And now their last remaining daughter is very ill. Friend, what do you say? The only thing you can say that God's mercies endure forever. He knows the way. Trust Him. Trust Him. Commit your living child to Him. Commit your way to Him. There's mercy with the Lord. He can undertake. And I just heard this morning, she's gone through her operation, and as far as the operation is concerned, it's been successful. Friend, trust Him. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of great mercies. And they're new every morning. Listen, His word endures. The clock's going to beat me. Give me 2 or 3 minutes. His word endureth forever. The Lord Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. Why? Because His word is an abiding word. It's an enduring word. And we who trust in His word do so because it's the word of a God who cannot lie. It's indestructible. It's imperishable. It's eternal. And those who trust in God's word will never be put to shame. What a foundation on which we rest by faith. In the word of God, we are given many promises, precious promises, promises that will never fail. You know why? Because this word tells me that He shall not fail. He is God. He cannot fail. And finally, we read in Psalm 89 and verse 36 that His seed endureth forever. Christ our Savior shall see of the travail of a soul and be satisfied. He shall see His seed, the fruits of His Calvary agony. And His seed is His blood-washed, redeemed people. And what is written in God's word as regards His seed? His seed, it is written, shall endure forever. Believer, you're eternally safe and secure in Christ. Yes, you're on your way to heaven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My, you can read your titles clear to a mansion in the sky. You've got eternal life. You're a child of God. You're resting in the everlasting arms of a loving Heavenly Father. Many indeed are the eternal blessings bestowed on His people. And well may we, His redeemed people, praise and glorify His name for these enduring things. For in them we can take courage and strength and be built up on our most holy faith. Friend, I've got a minute with the own flock. Allow me to do this. In the book of Zephaniah, there's a delightful verse with which I want to finish. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He's in the midst. Now listen to this. He will save. Yes, He's rescued us from our sins. He will rejoice over thee with joy. So he does. He will rest in his love. He has rescued us. He rejoices over us. He rests in his great love for us. Now listen to this bit. This is the thrilling bit. And boy, whenever I read this, my soul was thrilled. Listen to it. He will joy over thee with singing. Friend, have you got it? Deity breaking out into song. What a song that will be when we hear our Savior sing as he rejoices over those whom he hath redeemed by his blood. Move aside, Pavarotti. There's never been a song like this. He shall see of the travail of a soul. He'll rejoice over them, and then he will break out into song. Oh, friend, I'm longing for that day. Are you not? When I shall hear the voice of my beloved as he sees of the travail of a soul and he rejoices over his own with singing. Rejoice, dear child of God. You're on the victory side. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. And thank him for these blessings.